This is Dial a Saint, introducing Saint Francis Cabrini. The saying goes that you can understand a person better when you walk for a while in their shoes. And those of Saint Francis Cabrini really traveled. She was born prematurely, the 13th child in a deeply religious, hard-working, but poor farm family in the village of San Angelo, Italy, in 1850. Her health as a child was poor, and she was so small she was nicknamed Cecina. Rosa, the oldest daughter, was 15 when she assumed the work of care and training of Cecina. Rosa even gathered her younger brothers and sisters along with her playmates and started a school in her parents' home to teach them their elementary school subjects and religion. On winter evenings, her father read stories about the lives of missionaries in distant lands. The missionary life attracted little Cecina, who pictured herself teaching about Christ in China. Once, hearing that missionaries faced many hardships, she resolved to do without sweets, a promise she kept for the rest of her life. The sacraments of First Communion and Confirmation created such an increase of love for God that when she was 11 years old, she obtained her pastor's permission to make a yearly vow of virginity. Each year thereafter, she renewed this pledge until she was 19, when she consecrated herself permanently as a bride of Christ. Frances completed her elementary studies and then earned a teaching certificate. She had a deep desire to enter the religious life, but she was refused several times for the reason of her health, to which she humbly responded, "God's will be done." After her schooling, Frances and Rosa found much to do in their town. She cared for a man who was dying of cancer and helped the victims of a smallpox epidemic. Then she served as a substitute for a sick teacher in a nearby town. Her powers of persuasion must have been well developed because she convinced the mayor to not only change his rules forbidding religion in the public schools, but led both he and his family back to practicing their religion again. She accepted work to help in an orphanage as a novice member of its religious community under a woman whom some described as totally disorganized. For the next 6 years, she went through a strenuous novitiate requiring such great patience, humility, tact, and determination that a sister from another order described her own formation as child's play compared to what Frances underwent. The local bishop observed the heroic work of Frances, and after she professed her vows, he suggested that she begin her own missionary order. Her simple response to this suggestion was, "I will look for a house." And so, at the age of 30, Frances and 7 young sisters from the orphanage moved into their first quarters. The bishop was sure that this new religious order would assist him in the diocese. But God's plans did not include China for Frances or merely the diocese for the bishop. Frances named the order the Missionary Sisters of the Sacred Heart and added to her name that of Saint Xavier, who was the missionary saint to the East. Within 5 days, the convent's doors were opened to the orphans and catechism was taught to the boys and girls in the parish. A visiting priest was impressed by these young missionary teachers and asked them to open a free school in his parish. Frances agreed, and when the people saw the teachers arrive and heard of the new free school, success was assured. Word spread, and town after town asked the sisters to help. This pleased Frances and led her to ask the Pope to approve the order. With this approval, her sisters could go beyond their diocese to a need anywhere in the world. After many days of prayer and waiting, approval was not only given, but the sisters were asked to open a convent and a free school in Rome. As with most openings of her convents, adequate funds were usually not immediately available. Some foundations at first were said to resemble the Holy Family in Bethlehem. Everything was lacking. Hay in a corner or a corn husk filled mattress provided some comforts after the work of a long day. These were the accepted conditions of their lives, and their crosses brought them closer to God. It was a well-known fact that new Italian immigrants to America in the 1800s suffered from the inability to speak the language, usually lived in poverty, received very low wages, and were often persecuted. A few Italian-speaking priests had been sent, but Italian missionary sisters were lacking. Frances was asked several times to provide help. Finally, she was told that a convent home had been prepared in America and was ready for her sisters. And so in 1889, armed with letters of recommendation, she and some sisters sailed to New York. Their ship carried 1,500 Italian immigrants, most of whom, including the missionary sisters, had to overcome their fear of the water, since they had never taken an ocean voyage before. Frances especially suffered, since as a child she had almost drowned in a river, only to be saved by an unseen personage, some said was her guardian angel. But all managed to survive, even the stormy seas. When they arrived in New York, they were dismayed to find that no preparations had been made for them, and the promised convent did not seem possible. Their first night was spent sitting in wooden chairs in the dirty room of a local rooming house. The next day the archbishop told them they should not have come, and suggested they return on the next ship to leave. Frances quietly produced her letters of recommendation, stating that they were sent by the Holy Father, and therefore must carry out their special mission. The archbishop's attitude suddenly became pleasant, and he personally escorted them to the temporary housing. Within a few days, they opened a free school in a nearby church. One class was held in the main church, one in the choir loft, and another in the sacristy. Lessons were halted during weddings or funerals, and resumed again when they were over. Within 3 weeks, the once unavailable convent was ready, and its doors were opened to the orphans. Within the space of 4 months, 400 orphans were taken into their orphanage. The sisters found the need for food and clothing was particularly great, and Frances volunteered to take her turn, along with the other sisters, to go throughout the neighborhood asking for donations. At the same time, classes in the church had grown to more than 200 pupils, and Frances again found larger quarters. Thereupon, Frances returned to Italy accompanied by two American girls who wanted to become sisters. In her career, Frances, who was at first afraid of the ocean, made countless trips by ship to spread devotion to the Sacred Heart. On one occasion, the Holy Father told Frances that he expected her order of missionary sisters to extend its service to the entire world. Frances considered calls for her sisters to come from God, but she always prayed to him for direction. She founded a training college for teachers and started convents in Nicaragua and New Orleans. In New York, a hospital was made available to her order, but Frances was not ready to accept. Instead, she prayed for guidance. One night, her prayers were answered when she had a dream in which she saw the Blessed Mother walking among the beds and helping the sick in a hospital. When Frances hurried to help, she was told that her help was not needed because the Mother of God was doing what Frances did not want to do. The next morning when she awoke, she made hospital work another goal of her order. The new hospital rooms had few comforts for the patients. The sisters slept on the floor, and a friend donated an ambulance. Soup was bought from a local restaurant and reheated on a stove in the center of the ward. Medical services were donated free by Catholic and non-Catholic doctors and nurses alike. Through her determination and prayers, New York's Columbus Hospital came into being. She always traveled personally to where a new foundation was planned. Often there was a lack of funds to pay for the most ordinary expenses. But when her sisters reported they had nothing left, she would tell them to look one more time, and to their amazement would discover in another pocket or drawer the exact amount needed. Nothing could deter Frances from spending whatever energy was needed to start a new orphanage, convent, school, or hospital, which she was sure the project was in God's plan. She rode over the mountains between Chile and Argentina in deep snow on muleback to establish a new convent, and her sisters walked through the deep mine pits in Colorado to talk to the workers and bring them back to the faith. She established another Columbus hospital in Chicago and traveled throughout the United States and the countries of the world, but not to China. In 1909, she became a naturalized American citizen. Her ministry was working among the immigrants of America. By the time of her death, at the age of 67 in 1917, she had established 67 foundations and encouraged 4,000 women to become members of her missionary society. Frances was declared to be a saint in heaven in 1946. Pope Leo XIII said these words to Frances, "Let us work, Cabrini, let us work. We have an eternity to rest." These words sum up her missionary spirit. The Pope's words also encourage us to use our talents as missionaries. In this way, we cooperate with God's love and return it to Him through what we do for others.